Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki's here and Jacob's late.
Yeah, can't ask for anything more than that.
Technically, we're starting a minute early so he could come in and be on time.
No, he ain't.
And I'll make fun of him anyway.
Like, why'd you start without me?
But we started early because we have guests today. Joining us to hang out, we have Carnage. Scott, how are you doing?
Yo, how's it going, everyone? What's up?
Not much. We got you on.
Yeah, you can expect some bad puns and subpar gameplay, but I'm not playing today, so I'm just talking. So, you know, you're at least spared for one of the things.
Yes, no gameplay here, just talking. And talking is going to happen because Michael Silverman of Silverware Games is on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. I rarely get out very much on the podcast scene, so I'm hoping I'll drop exclusives that are just like...
SML World exclusive.
Yes.
That's what we need. We need to land some kind of massive exclusive that the world is going to buzz about, and then we'll get tons of listeners. Like,
that's, I, 10, I hope 12. I can help with that.
No, we got a bunch of people hanging out in chat tonight. If anyone has any questions for the dev, please feel free to drop them in chat and we will pass them on. But Michael, for the people who don't know who you are, what Silverware Games is, give us the sales pitch. Who are you? Why are you on the show?
I made a game 100 Bullets. I made a bunch of games at Silverware Games. We're trying to make the tagline is we're trying to make fun games for people to find the fun in life. So we think that it's not really just escapism with games, that if you're playing something fun, you can kind of learn how to have more fun in the real world. That's sort of the overall goal of the company. And then we just do so much stuff. We're doing a social network that we're trying to set up. We're doing a bunch of games that we have a bunch of, that are in work, and that's a lot of stuff that I could just talk. I don't want to just, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Maybe that's the point is to just,
yeah, the point is to talk on the show. Yeah.
All right. Well, so I feel a little weird because usually people don't ask me what I'm up to, so it's sort of it's awkward. But we've got 100 Bullets is the one that we're working on right now for Xbox, which is a game about sort of dodging your own bullets. You're trapped in a ring, and you kind of send your bullets out, and you have to kind of control the bullet pattern and kind of become self-aware of how you're interacting with the levels in order to beat them. So it's sort of an action puzzle. I had some debates with people. I was in some of the puzzle forums, and they're saying, oh, it's not a puzzle. And I was talking to some of the shmup people, and they're saying, oh, it's not a shmup. And so it's definitely something that's different than what you may have seen before in the shmup puzzle area.
I have one referred to it as a dodge-em-up.
Yeah, I was going to say, one could say the favorite SML word, unique.
Yes.
It's a unique twist on the shmup genre. Yeah, and it is. I think I definitely agree. Like, it's definitely puzzle and
shmup.
Yeah. Puzzle and shmup elements combined.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud that I was trying to make something that was different when I started out working on it, which was, by the way, I started working on this back in like 2009. So that's like crazy.
Oh, yeah. I remember you were telling me about that briefly. You had like different iterations of it. I think there was one called like Don't Shoot Yourself or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's Don't Shoot Yourself. There was one version was just like a flash prototype that was just like literally just a circle. And there was just, it was just no graphics, and it was just in flash. And it's just... it's been a long saga to kind of get this.
When did it first start? Like, what year did you start that game? Like the prototype for this?
Yeah, 2000. I still remember. It was 2009. I had just been in. I did a prototype of a game that was in the student independent games festival, and I was just coming off of that, and I was thinking I got to make something new and something different, and I made this. I just quickly just said, like, hey, you know, if you're in a ring and you send out a bullet, will it come back and bounce at you? And I just sort of spent a night and made a prototype of it, and it worked for what it was, which was just a tiny little thing. And then I actually wound up leaving it. It's been a struggle to kind of... This game has a little bit of baggage associated with it, but it's been a struggle to kind of get this... I mean, you think about the name Don't Shoot Yourself, it's kind of almost like a dark joke, right? Like, yeah. I mean, people have said, like, that name has to go, which is why we changed it to 100 Bullets.
Oh, look who finally showed the fuck up.
Listen, it is not my fault.
I know, he was busy dodging 100 bullets. Bullshit,
it's only your fault.
Come, Jacob.
No, it is not my fault.
Is it because you
is not because I took the edible. No, it's because my wife took my headset in today with her to work, and she took off the iPhone dongle that I used to plug in the headset to my phone. And so I had to search for that like 2 minutes before the show started. So it is not my fault.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, the world is all about dongles nowadays.
It is.
100 dongles is the new, change the name of the game.
I love that. 100 dongles.
Isn't that the name of my tech porn?
100 dongles. 100
dongles. Coming up in SML After Dark. No.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Michael, this is our co-host, Jacob. Jacob, this is Michael Silverman of Silverware Games, who is on to chat about 100 Bullets. Jacob, have you put any time into the game?
Yeah, I actually got the SML achievement tonight.
Nice.
Nice. Yep, yeah. So that's going to be interesting when we discuss that. I'll let Michael go into that, I guess.
Carnage was the inspiration for this. I hadn't really thought of making community achievements, and Carnage kind of came to me and said, "Oh, you know, you're getting more achievement gamer score. You get an update, so you get more gamer score."
Yep.
And I didn't even know that you could
for that.
Yeah,
I wasn't even aware of that. Like, I didn't know that there was a waiting period for how you can do that. So my attitude was, hey, you know, there's these cool people, I can name achievements after them, and, you know, I didn't even really put too much thought into it. I was just sort of, hey, you know, that sounds like this is a nice way to give back to the community and kind of get people who are into achievements more into kind of seeing their games. Seeing the game
in the
and
community,
just
yeah,
I always love building community, and I'm just the problem is that I'm kind of a grumpy guy and I'm not social sometimes, so it's difficult for me to kind of get people to kind of So it's really like Carnage is just awesome, like super cool for helping me find the people.
Thank you. He called me a mastermind, which I don't technically deserve, but okay, thank you for that that name when he tweeted about new update coming from, you know, Silverware Games and Carnage, the mastermind.
So, like, how did everyone go about getting, like, on this list for the achievements? Like, do I have to hand you, like, $20 or something, like, for the next update?
There is going to be another update, so I'll let Michael
that was the upside was that Carnage kind of helped us find a bunch of really cool people to be on the list for the first list.
Oh, good. No, I'm not on the list of cool people. Thanks, Carnage.
SML level is kind of encompassing all of you, right?
Greedy.
Encompassing? That sounds like a fat joke, jerk.
Because you are.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
But so the idea was that people were like, as you were kind of saying, well, I'm not cool enough. So the next version, we're doing a tournament for who is going to be in the achievements. So
get there's good, there, Jacob.
I already lost. It's cool.
So the first one was sort of the friends of people we knew, and the second one is going to be totally merit-based. Anyone can enter the contest. Whoever gets the highest scores are going to be the ones who make it.
I like the idea that you were talking to me about, that you want to do, what you want to do for the update is, I'll let you, I don't want to steal your thunder, you know, with the way to get into the tournament.
Right, yeah. So we're changing the game so that you can download it as a demo and get the tournament level. It's called the Zen Tournament, and the level is an infinite level where there are these bullets that last forever, and you kind of go for as long as you can. And the higher the score on that level, there's going to be an Xbox leaderboard for that. And the higher your score on that level, the people who are on the top of the list are going to be the ones who get the next achievements.
So that is awesome.
So for everyone who's saying, oh, well, you know, how come I'm not one of the cool people? I always get upset about that when people are kind of like, because usually when people pick a list of kind of the people who get I usually never get picked for anything. I'm like the guy who gets picked last. So this version is for the people who just want to win the tournament and just be really good at the game.
Now, are you going to have, like, sense. No duplicates allowed? Like, if people are already on the list now, like, you don't get another entry.
Right, yeah, that's... I'm not sure how to technologically block them from being on the list, but what we'll do is we'll just remove them from consideration if they already have a... If you're already on the list, then you won't get a second one. That'll be the way it goes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Carnage doesn't get another one.
Right?
No.
Good. I already have my name in like two or three other fucking games. Like, yeah, that actually happened before. Sorry to say you weren't the first game, but
it happened two other games. So that means that's 61 people already taken out of the running. All right. I like my chances.
Exactly. Yeah,
there was a game that inspired, remember, that's how I was telling Michael about it, because there was a game called Restless Night, where the developer of that game was the one that, like, they reached out to the community to have a contest, and that was just kind of a raffle-based contest, but, you know, it's cool that you're doing something different with it, and, like, making it a challenge, skill-based.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we designed a special level that's like an extra. It's we're adding it as an update, as an extra level. So this is not in the game yet, but I'm really close, like super close, to getting it released. And then anybody can just sign up and get in the leaderboard. And it's one entry per gamer tag. So what we're going to do is check if you're already in the score leaderboard, then you only get one chance, so to speak. That's the way we're doing it for now. And we may make it so that people get extra chances somehow or do like a second round or something. We're going to have to see what people are doing with it. Because also, if there's some sort of way to, like, someone comes up with a special way to cheese the tournament, and then it just they get like a mega high score, then we may have to tweak it. So we're gonna play it by ear and be dynamic.
And also, I know that when you're mentioning for like getting into the next update, and I know we were talking about some ideas for like the next update content as well.
Oh yeah.
I
think one of the other things we might play with is one of those viral achievements that if you're playing with someone who has it, you can if you're playing with someone who has it, you can connect, you can get the achievement yourself.
Oh yeah, Marathon did that too.
Yeah.
There's lots of games. I love those achievements. Those are fun.
Those are fun. Creative. Yeah, that's what we're thinking too. Like just making like, and also got to give a shout out to Rick Fire, GamerTech Fire, who's from In-Depth Gaming. And yeah, me and Michael and Fire have been like, you know, brainstorming different ideas. And I appreciate that we can be part of the kind of the further development of 100 Bullets. That's awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm excited to have sort of from the other end, it's sort of, you know, when I sit there and I kind of come up with the ideas from the design point of view as just sort of making the game, it's fun to see people who take it from just, I play the game and here's what I want, right? So it's sort of that attitude of someone who's like saying, oh, well, this, I mean, for example, Carnage gave me some feedback about the endings being a little messed up. And it's just, like, I never would have thought of that, because from my point of view, it was so clear that there's, like, this minimal ending, and you get it for having the least amount of possible stars or Lotus tokens that you can get to, like, complete the game, and it, to me, that was very clear. And Carnage comes in and says, you know, hey, that kind of doesn't make sense.
In a way where it makes, like, you know, because I don't know, because I play too many damn games with achievements and I know too much about them. So I'm used to like all that stuff. And I know what achievement hunters or, you know, just people in general are going to like prefer so that nothing's technically missable. They can go back and get the earlier endings if they did too well, you know?
Right. So, yeah. Which, you know, essentially, that's good.
Yeah.
I was basically punishing people for doing too well is like in hindsight.
Yeah.
But like
Michael's just like taking his levels and getting 5 stars on all of them because he's the dev, you know, and just be damned to everybody else. No, I'm just kidding.
It's amazing how you can lose touch, and it's just like it's really helpful to get people who are coming at it from I'm playing this and here's what is bad or here's what's good. Mm-hmm. It's like super helpful. So I'm really excited to be working with you guys and Rick. And if you're a streamer or you're a content creator and you want to stream the game, you can email press@silverwaregames.com. Rick is the guy who will, he's got a bunch of keys and he can, you know, send out. Yeah,
That's awesome. That he's kind of helping with some of the PR in a way now, like
fire. He's our sort of press guy. So please reach out if you want to get in touch or if you want to hear me ramble on your whatever I don't really sort of talk too much in terms of people. I'm not a great pontificator, so
it's okay. But when Carnage is on, no one gets to talk.
Word for me. Yeah, I know with my setup and stuff, I just don't mess with that. You're the audio engineer. You're the audio master here, Joe.
No, I'm not. So. Aki, do you have any questions? You've been quiet.
I've been quiet because I'm still trying to beat the damn game. I'm bad at these.
I have not beat the game either. I'm awful at the game. I'm amazed I made it to level 13 to get my own achievement. In hindsight, I probably should have been Carnage. Throw me at number 2. But no, I had to be like 13 because that's how many cats I have. Ha 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 ha.
Well, if it makes you feel better, Joe, I've definitely done better than you. I'm sure.
Make me feel better?
Because
were you on the easy difficulty? Because there are 3 difficulties. Which
right? Yeah, that's
is cool.
I tried to make you can get pretty far on the easy difficulty. At some point, the star limits, the Lotus token limits, stop you from going on the easy difficulty. But
yeah,
you can
that's
probably
where I'm at
get
now.
To level 13 on pretty close to, I mean, some of the early levels are pretty simple to get 5 tokens on. Like the first level, you get 5 tokens for free. And then the first 3 levels are pretty easy on the Zen mode, which is the most difficult. And then you can kind of cheese it on the easy mode to get deeper into the game. Because the easy mode isn't too bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you're used to that shmups or just used to precision games. I mean, you could also, there's kind of some RNG sometimes, right? Or if you take a certain pattern through the level, then you know like what to expect. So it could go either way, I think.
I've managed to get through level 10. I'm just now starting level 11.
Why are you saying you're further than me?
Yeah.
As well as the first 2 secret levels, all of them on Zen.
Secret. Oh, cool. Spoiler alert. <No. laughs>
Secret levels. Yeah, that was one of the big things that I really wanted to... I never knew how to do secret levels in terms of, like, do you tell people what the secrets are? I know there's some people who will be, like, doing a game and they'll sort of say, oh, well, it's so secret, I can't tell anyone. And it's sort of, right. I guess there's some games where there's, like, these big hidden secrets that even the developer pretends aren't, you know, oh, I'm not going to say anything, you have to figure it out.
I could see both sides to it, but I mean, I like what you did with it. Like, you kind of let players explore, but then you also, and you know, everyone knows that you can find answers online anyway when people make guides. But I like how you also, like, you put that on your website, just 100bullets.com/secrets, is it?
Yeah.
And then you can just see them there if you want to spoil it.
Yeah.
That's not a secret anymore, Carnage, you ass.
They don't have to look. You have to restrain yourself. I'm not going to put the link in chat. You got to do the work.
Oh yeah, you got to type it in.
Way too much work.
Type in a URL. Jesus, fuck that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some games where they'll be like, the developer makes like a tutorial that says, "Don't look up the secrets," and I was just like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's like sitting in a room, like, don't press the red button, whatever.
Yeah, right. You know. So, yeah, I don't know what the right answer there is, but I'm hoping the secrets aren't too... You know, the names of the achievements for the secrets might give you some hints, so hopefully, if you're trying to figure them out, you might be able to just look at the achievement names and figure out which one's which.
I'll have to dig through the achievement list and see what's going on. Thimber in chat has a question. Carnage isn't doing his job in reading the questions from chat, so I'll do it.
I don't want to steal the host's job. I mean, you know.
You already
are. Yeah, but Joe can't read, so.
I can't. Thimber is asking, have you ever considered making a rhythm game?
A rhythm game? Oh, yeah. There was actually, there's kind of a somewhat similar game. Sound Dodger was something people compare this to, where it's sort of like the bullets are matched to the beat of the music, and then it's sort of the pattern is based around music and stuff.
Just shapes and beats.
Right, yeah. So it's sort of like there's a big crescendo or something, and then there's a big bullet that comes in or something like that. Yeah, that's always something that I would be interested in doing. We're actually for the Zen tournament, we're talking about making a background song that's more like In the Hall of the Mountain King. I don't know if you know that one. That's the do 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 do, where it gets a little bit faster paced.
Oh yeah.
Right, and so it starts off and it's like a little slow, and then it kind of builds up and it gets more intense. So yeah. And the other thing,
can you set it to the beat of the bullets?
Yeah, so that's...
That would be awesome, yeah. That would probably take a lot of crazy programming.
Right, so that's... We actually, right now, the way it works is that the music is locked to the bullet pattern in terms of when the bullets fire. So I was going to write the code. I was actually going to do that code where it increases the tempo of the bullet firing. And then it also locks it into the beat of the music as it increases. That's the composer I'm working with is on vacation for a week or two. So that's sort of in the back burner for about a week. But once he's back, we're actually going to consider that was actually something we're thinking about. So that's a good question,
because
we're definitely trying to play around with more music integrated stuff. That's I love doing that.
Yeah, a lot of people in chat also looking like they're interested in that. That sounds neat if you can make it happen. It sounds like a lot of programming craziness, but got this right.
Well, that's the programming craziness is sort of like free for me, because I'm a crazy programmer, so just doing the programming is the easy part for me. It, you know, getting the music to sound, you know, I don't know how to compose music. If you've listened to my own personal music SoundCloud, you will know that I do not know how to compose music. I have a couple of songs that I've made that are just bizarre and just like a mess. So
my best work is from Mario Paint. That's about it. That's where it stops.
Yeah, Mario Paint. I would have to try play with that. There's a music composing program called Sonic Pi, which lets you write code that plays notes. And I always thought that was a. I did some stuff. I did like I took Stairway to Heaven and reversed the intro of Stairway to Heaven. Yeah. I took it and I played the notes in the reverse order. I called it Elevator to Hell. That's one of my. that's the kind of music I compose.
Oh my god! I want to hear that. Is that on your SoundCloud?
Yeah, that's on my SoundCloud page. I don't know if I play it now. It'll here. Wait, let me. I don't know if I play it.
MCA. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I don't know if you can copyright. Can you copyright the backwards version?
I don't know. Like I can always play it after the show.
Okay, and just splice it in or whatever. That's fine.
I'll splice it in and see if it flies. And if it doesn't fly, I'll play something different at the end of the show. So,
all right, there you go. All right, well, I'll send you the link afterwards. Nice. I was trying to look it up. But yeah, it actually sounds kind of cool, in my opinion.
I'm going to put the link. Yeah, go ahead.
That's my opinion. My SoundCloud is like at Michael Please No. Everything for me is Michael Please PLZNO.
Just plugged your link. So Michael Please at PLZNO.com in the chat there. So anyone listening live can go. Or anyone in the show after. I know Joe will post the links there.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, and I'm also that on Twitter, and I have a check mark now.
Did you pay the $8 or no?
I paid the $8, yeah!
it's only $2 less than 100 Bullets right now, but 100 Bullets, I know you want to put, spoiler alert, it's you're trying to get it on a sale as well.
Well, so that's the...
That's another thing.
I may have done a sale that I wasn't even aware of. I was talking about doing a sale, and then someone tweeted, "Oh, your game's on sale," and I said, "Oh, it is."
That's strange. Because I didn't see it. I see it $9.99 at the moment.
Right, and then it went away. I'm going to talk to the sale people because I never really fully pulled the trigger on saying, "Yes, do a sale." Mm. So I was thinking about that. The other thing is that we are considering, and I can't make any promises, but we're considering dropping the price a little bit. So I don't want to make any guarantees, but we're talking about it. So
make it be like, oh yeah, you can get 100 Bullets for cheaper than a check mark.
There you go, the check mark deal. Right, I can make little graphics of 100 Bullets, 100 check marks.
You'll see there all the bullets become check marks.
There you go. I love that. I would love that. Just making little check mark bullets that just pop out and you just.
I'd buy that for $1.
There you go, RoboCop.
Oh, Carnage. And we have another question from what?
Bad pun and me cutting Joe off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Acolyte, we had to say his bad pun. It checks out.
Oh yeah, it checks out. It's checkmate for that idea.
Exactly.
I'm gonna check out of this conversation soon. No. Rootbeer in chat is asking, any plans for a Switch port?
So I talked to the Switch people and tried to pitch this game to them, and they weren't super interested. So I don't know. Maybe they'll change their mind, but. So far the answer is no. And furthermore, I mean, I'm super interested in Xbox mostly because they take me seriously and they answer my questions when I email them, which is
ID at Xbox program's awesome.
Yeah.
I know you're loving that. Loving the program as well.
And I don't really, I mean, I don't mind, I'm not super excited to just it's a lot of work just to get Xbox working because there's a lot of I had to, for example, one of my development tools was kind of messed up, and then I had to go through jump through a bunch of hoops to get that all fixed up, and it is just dealing with a console is just a lot of work. And so supporting a bunch of supporting Switch and Xbox and PlayStation and whatever and whatever console, Texas Instruments calculators, the more platforms you include, it just becomes so tough. And my team is super small. I'm really the only full-time kind of guy at Silverware Games. And then we have a bunch of freelancers. And we really are kind of on a tiny... We're very limited in terms of what we can make. I would love... I mean, I have this big project, Xanadu, that I've been working on forever. But, like, it's just really tough to do... It's really tough to do big things. I mean, obviously I always want to do giant projects, but right now I feel like the best design is coming up with an idea that can be done on a small budget. That's what's really tough to design. Like, cause you could say like, hey, let's do Grand Theft Auto in space. And then that's like, yeah, that'll be a hit. But I mean, obviously it's going to take, I mean, you would need a gigantic budget. So the trick is to come up with ideas that you can do that are not too difficult to do. That's like really the tough design work. So that's
exactly. And you made a fun little minimalistic, as you say, minimalistic shmup puzzler. Like, I mean, it's easy. It's base, not easy, but you know what I mean? Like, it's very easy to learn, hard to master, and just kind of get into it. And it's fun. That's all it really needs.
Yeah, that was. Start. That is not easy to do, but thank you for the kudos, because that is a pain to figure out. Yeah. I mean,
I can understand the programming behind it. I couldn't do any programming for shit, so I give you props.
Well, so actually, I'll say again, the programming wasn't the difficult part for this. The difficult part was getting the concept right, and getting there were a ton of different layers to add to this. For example, some people came up with ways at the beginning to kind of play a level and then stop moving, and then play the level and then stop moving, and it would just mess up. It would just be really easy to beat the level, and so I had to make it so that the countdown reversed. I mean, those kinds of iterations take time, and you just have to get the whole concept fully working. It's just the design end of it is the toughest part for me. I guess maybe I'm not a great designer. I don't know. But it's just that getting all of the ideas coalesced into one complete package, that's the tough part.
Yeah, I definitely see that.
I was going to say, I was digging back. I actually looked up. The game apparently was on sale for $6.99.
Right.
On gold? Apparently.
Right. So, yeah.
Interesting.
I told them, I didn't think I told them that I didn't think I told them that I was actually going to do the sale. But I guess they decided to do it. I don't know. I was sort of said, so, like, I'm not.
I didn't see when it was on. Like, it
did
must
it,
have been
did
a very
it help
short
sales
period.
Figures we're, at all?
I'll have to look that up, because the problem is that my sales figures are delayed in terms of what I get I get for information. So I just got September's sales report.
But yeah, I feel like it must have been either a very short time or something, because like Joe and I and a lot of other people here are just like hawks when it comes to the looking at the sales every week. So yeah, we would have noticed it. But
well, that's
I don't know.
I always wonder about that, is because, you know, I guess there was a miscommunication, because I would have obviously, like, made a big, I would have tweeted about it and, like, done everything. I mean, so I don't know. I thought I told them that I was sort of thinking about doing the sale, but I wasn't sure. And I guess they decided to just run it through. I don't know. But then I...
Yeah, it's always something you can set up again with them, I'm sure. Like, normally.
There'll be other sales. There'll definitely be other sales. Yeah. And I'm hoping to do a sale when we... A couple months...
The new tournament stuff and...
Right, like when the tournament is finished and there's the next... Because every 6 months you get the big update. So...
Yeah.
I'm hoping to correlate a sale with the next big update and the tournament results, and sort of when the new achievements are in. There'll be a big sale then, and that'll be...
That makes sense. And I was going to say, for anyone that doesn't know, that the game is now currently at 2,000 gamer score. And in the next update, like Michael said, it's going to go up to 3,000 gamer score, and so on, maybe in the future, even more, possibly.
Yeah, I'm.
It's all you care about, Carnage, is the gamer score. You don't care about the development process. You don't care about the history. You're just like, for the achievements.
Yeah. No, I do appreciate. I know we joke about it, but like I do appreciate all the work that goes into it too.
And are you looking with the added achievements coming in the future? Are you looking at adding more stages?
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to do, and I'm planning on doing. And I'm always not sure how much audience participation we can do. For example, I'm trying to do to customize everyone who has an achievement to make it so that they can add their own image to the achievement. But I'm also thinking of letting the people help me come up with a level idea for.
Just gave me an idea.
For, you know, so some of the new people who have, like, level maybe 70 or whatever, they're going to say, oh, well, I'd like a level that's about cheese or something or whatever, and then I can come up with a design that sort of fits that idea.
Joe's thinking exactly what I'm thinking, right? You know what level?
The SML logo at level 69?
A wet fucking pancake all over your fucking 100 bullets.
I want the SML logo. Level 69, baby.
You'd rather have the SML logo than the wet pancake. I mean,
you could do pancakes for someone else.
Yeah,
for me, have it in the game too, Carnage, but you can do the pancake.
I already have a level, damn it. You won't give me another level? No, just kidding. No, I don't need another level. I don't want to be a greedy bastard. Anyway.
I'm just thinking about how to lay out an SML level, because the SML shape could work. I'm just thinking about how we do it.
Yeah. You just fly around the M.
You just go from the S to the bottom right of the L, right?
Right. From left to right. Well, I could do a little portals between the letters.
Yeah. That would work.
How about
a pancake level? Pancake level, Jesus, you'd be like starting at the top by the butter and then just like going in a spiral down.
Yeah,
like downward, maybe like the first vertical level in the game.
Yeah. I'm thinking that I might even include more, because right now the visuals are sort of minimal, but I might be a little bit more adventurous. So, like, if you wanted to maybe have like pancakes in the background, you know, maybe
just
like
floating pancakes.
Yes, exactly. Right. So it's like an SML where you're going between the letters in portals. And in the background, there's
the background.
Just like floating. Maybe the pancakes get a little bit bigger as the level progresses.
Pancakes and Joe's face
from the emote.
No, not my face. My cat's faces.
Your cat. Well, the cats.
So that's the
achievement image will have your cat's face. If I can get approval from Microsoft, I'm trying to make it so that, you know how when you have the unlock image and it shows what you unlocked, the achievement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm actually going to be able to, if I can get this through, is to be able to customize people's achievement so that you can say, like, hey, here's a picture of my cat. Here's a picture of whatever, you know, something that's my amazing. Family, my whatever you want, or my logo, or my a pancake, whatever.
That's cool. That's really neat if they let you do that.
So you can do a whole DLC pack just based on my cats if that's the way it's going. I have way too many cats. Like I said, I'm level 13 because I presently have 13 cats. And I say presently because that might change.
Wow. God damn it.
That's impressive.
Yeah, we got 13.
That's a word.
God damn it, is indeed a word.
That's a serious commitment to cats.
It is, but to my credit, I am married, so I'm not that desperate and sad.
Okay.
Just
I don't know about that, but okay.
Shut up, Aki.
I have found one issue with the game so far.
Okay.
Other than the fact that I'm terrible at it. Sometimes the bullets, when they might hit an edge... where there's a square piece, and once they touch that, they go flying off so fast.
I think that's intended.
Yeah,
the bouncy.
You're talking about the cheating walls. I call them the cheating walls. The walls that they snipe at you when you hit them. They just go like really fast, and they go right at you.
Well, yeah. these don't go right at me, but they do just start zipping around. I'm playing Secret Level 3 right now, and so many times it hits something and then things just go flying. That, and sometimes I don't even get out of the starting area because of that.
Pretty sure that level, that's like intended, right?
That is by design. Those walls that they're hitting, the thicker walls that are sometimes, they're like the little vertical walls.
Okay. Yeah. If you
hit those, they bounce. I call them the cheater walls. They shoot thick really walls. Fast. Double evil. Speed. Yeah, you've got to avoid them and kind of first of all, you want to hope for a good layout. So sometimes if you get a random layout that kind of is bad, some of them are just really bad to win on. So you want a layout that's
well, some of them are impossible to win on.
I will admit that I did notice that some of them are impossible, like she said.
Yeah.
Is that just for like a funny troll thing? Like, because I know that's only on the secret levels for anyone that's wondering. That's like the
five secret levels. I assume it's just all procedurally RNG, generated.
But the rest of the game, right, Michael, is all the regular 60 levels are all normal. They don't change. They don't change the layout.
All the regular levels don't change. The trick for the secret levels is that they're procedurally generated, which means that I may try and add extra hooks so that there's less, I guess you can call them degenerate versions where you can't win. But it has to do with limitations on how they're randomly generated. Some of them are going to be easier. Sometimes you just want a good RNG to
win. What I rely on, because, boy.
You can always quickly restart. Yes. That's another thing that I like about the game. You can just, it's just the game you can restart right away and you're right back in the action. No loading, no nothing like that. So,
I just got Secret 3 on Zen.
Good. Oh, nice.
All right.
Now I just need to do level 12 because that one's really, really hard. Those triangles make it very difficult for me. I can't quite figure out how to get that on Zen.
Which one, Escher?
And that was something you brought up too. You were talking to me, Michael, about maybe possibly changing like some levels around because you got some feedback about that.
Yeah, I've been hearing that the difficulty curve is not as smooth as I would like, and that some of the harder levels are a little earlier, and some of the easier levels are a little later. So I may do something where I reorder levels. That's something that I have on my list of things. You're
perfectly welcome to make them all easy levels. I'm fine with that.
No, you gotta work for your fucking achievements.
I don't like working for my achievements. You know this, Scotty.
The idea would be that the first, say 10 or 20 levels, or at least maybe even 30, would be the easier ones. And then the last 10 levels are, they're really hard for me. And the thing is that...
They are for me too, yeah.
Since we have some people who are really taking the game very seriously and very talented at it, I might be able to make even harder levels for the next 10 set of levels. So I'm thinking of making super difficult levels.
Now I don't have a problem with that personally, but you know that there are some people out there that are going to be like, "Well, rip, there goes my completion."
Yeah, that's me. I'm already at that point, I think.
I don't know. I like a challenge, but I know some people out there, that's fine. Everyone to each their own, but it's up to
I'm
you.
A little bitch, baby, and so, I know it, and I accept
we know
fact.
It, too.
But I know that you mentioned you want to try to add, I know for the Zen tournament, you're going to try to add a leaderboard, but, it'll be cool to see if you put in, hard levels, but with just the leaderboard and no achievement tied to it, but, just the challenge, to challenge your friends and stuff.
I like that as a, maybe instead of adding...
Yeah.
Maybe the completion achievements stay the way they are. So, if you complete the first levels that are the 60 levels,
exactly,
and the secrets, you get all the achievements. But then there's a leaderboard for who can beat, maybe who are the first people to beat all 10, right? And it's sort of you get some sort of there's a maximum score you can get on it, and then the first people to get it are higher on the leaderboard or something like that. So that that way it doesn't.
There's different ideas.
That way it's sort of just a kind of a competition as opposed to you don't. There's no gamer score that's kind of tied up in it. Although I do want to make
what?
The
no
stars, which
score.
You can get the stars on the easy mode, so that the stars
that
would be
sense.
Gamer score. So
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff to do, but. I like messing around with that kind of stuff.
We were brainstorming that stuff. We were saying how like nobody likes the online leaderboard achievements though, because that like leaderboard's good, achievements good, but don't make online based achievement, you know, leaderboard achievement where you have to be number one in the world and be damn everyone else. Yeah,
that was. I was thinking of the idea of like, you know how everybody hates the having a gamer score that ends in 3 or 2.
Except Joe and I that don't mind it and laugh at people that
I love them. I love odd numbered achievements. They're games that have those achievements automatically get bonus points in my eyes.
Okay,
because it pisses people off.
And yet Fire won't let that happen because he works, he's helping with the brainstorming with us, and he's
he hates
odd number and even
thank
number.
God.
God. So it's like a battle.
Stop whining.
Who's going to win?
I just want to watch the world burn. I'm tempted.
I mean, literally, hell. Like you were literally planning on first calling the Zen tournament the Hell tournament. So
yeah,
you know,
I was thinking of calling it the Hell
everyone
tournament.
Away.
I thought it sounds cool. Hell is
it does sound cool. Challenging. Yeah.
Carnage, why are you making him change his ideas?
Right. We're changing the whole game.
Hell game.
Hell
bullets.
Eldred
bullets of hell. 100 bullets of hell.
Hell yeah, hell I like it. 100 bullets of hell. Hell yeah, bullets. Oh. Awesome time.
The SM Hell podcast.
Is that the Japanese release?
Yeah, that's the Japanese version. Hell yeah, bullet fun time. That's the Japanese version.
Okay, go get item get.
I want to jump back in the conversation quite a bit because we haven't been able to stay on topic at all.
Because I'm on the
standard.
Show.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because
I'm
you're
doing
on
more
show,
tangents
yeah.
than Purnell.
Yeah. You mentioned a viral achievement, which requires
right.
online play.
So here's what we're going to do. Here's the thought, and I don't know if this is going to work, but the plan was that it would be if you're in the Xbox chat, like your party.
Party chat, yeah.
Party chat. That's how the virus spreads. So if you're
group
if you get the
chat, is can you actually have the system detect that?
I think
there might be a way. We were kind
of brainstorming. If it can't be done, then it can't be done. But I think there's an API hook that says in your game you can determine who is in your party currently from the game, because I think there are reasons you need to know. You know, I think that other than this, I think that they've set it up so that you can tell who you're in chat with in the game in order to. So, for example, if you're creating a party in another game that has actual multiplayer, you can tell who's in your chat. I think there's a hook for that. If there isn't, then we're not going to have that achievement because it'll be impossible.
Right. So is there
any thought of making some kind of multiplayer mode, like maybe a co-op mode where each person has 50 bullets or something like that?
I would do it if I understood how it, like, that just makes my brain like go crazy. Like, cause I'm just thinking
yeah,
of like,
online,
okay, so that's the sequel. Then.
Like, yeah, that might be 200 bullets or whatever. That might be like, you know, each person has 100 and it's 200 bullets and it's like a sequel. But like, I don't, like, from a design point of view, I don't understand exactly what the interaction between the two players would be. I'm open to suggestions and I'm open to like brainstorming, but like, I just like thinking about it, I just don't. I guess my mind is just like a solitary experience for this. I don't know.
I'm kind of with you there. Like it would be cool. It would be interesting, but I don't know how it would fully work.
Like, and are each person's bullets bouncing off of each other? And then like, it's a collaboration. So it would be co-op or something. I don't know. I don't know how it would
go. Or even a versus mode where you're trying to hit the other person.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
That might be fun too.
So you're both in the ring, and you're, or is it like there's two rings, and one of them's in the left, and one of them's on the right, or
that's a you question.
We're just brainstorming live on the SML podcast.
You're the developer. Awesome. You design things. I mean, I just talk together.
What about a Venn diagram? You both, two players start on either side, and you meet in the middle.
Oh, there three players, one on each part of the Venn diagram, one on each circle. Have it a three-way circle, and have
three-way.
Ooh. Oh yeah, SML After Dark, baby. I think some kind of versus mode would be really cool if there was a way to implement it properly, and that would be a good way to spread a virus achievement.
Yeah,
that's our one good idea this episode.
I will take that and steal that idea totally. I would love to do that, and I know how to get the technology of the multiplayer working because I did a race game. Where I had online multiplayer for a racing game working, so this would not be that complicated to do multiplayer for in terms of the technology. It's just, again, as I say, for me the most difficult part is coming up with an idea that's actually a workable, fun whole concept. That's the toughest one. That's why, you know, I just sort of asked you guys, like, are there two rings? And it's sort of that's sort of how I approach design. Questions is sort of like
brainstorming.
I imagine there could be multiple ways to do it, where either you're immune to your own bullets, and you can only be hit by theirs, or you can only be hurt by your own,
and they have to force you to go into your own bullets.
Yeah, stuff like that. There's so many different
weird.
We I don't know if that do really an works, hour though. Based on this alone. I'm sure.
I like the idea of that you get points for collecting the other person's bullets, but you lose points for hitting your own bullets. Something like that. I don't know.
That's a cool idea. That could be its own game.
Yeah.
Right. Like one person is shooting bullets that you have to collect, and the other person is shooting bullets. Like if you hit your own bullet, you lose points, and if you hit the other person's bullets, then your counter goes up. And it's just like trying to kind of connect the bullets so that it's like the streams don't cross in the wrong way.
Yeah, Ghostbusters style, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All I can imagine, this is horrible, but all I can imagine is the two ships circling around each other, kind of like in Genital Jousting, if you're familiar with that game.
I've heard of that one. I didn't get too into it, but I remember the marketing. They definitely made a splash. I'm trying to come up with a pun.
Going in circles there. So.
They made a splash. Yeah.
That's all I'm thinking about.
Oh God.
Oh my Lord.
They were really waving the marketing. They were really waving the marketing around on that.
Aren't you happy? I'm taking up your whole fucking podcast here, Joe, for like almost an hour now because you got me on.
Love it. Always
good times. Good times.
Son of a bitch. No. what do you have working on for the future? Do you have any more Xbox games in the works?
So there's a couple of projects that I'm working on that I would. You have to pitch stuff to Xbox in order to be accepted. So I have to kind of polish things up and make a pitch for. As I talked about, I had that multiplayer racing game, which is called Speedway Heroes, which the concept is it's sort of like a procedurally generated racing game with. It's sort of like a combination of a racing game and an infinite runner where you're kind of collecting coins to kind of stay on the track. And then the end goal is to register your plates at the DMV. And I always tell people, how could that not be a fun game? You're registering your plates at the DMV. I mean, come on. That's one concept that I'm talking about. The fact is that there's just so many games that I've done that I would be happy to take further. So it's just a question of which one I want to do next and which one is going to fit best with what. And if it turns out that Microsoft is really like the partnership is working there and, you know, the games are actually selling really well on Microsoft, hell, I'll go totally, all my games will come out on Microsoft. I'm totally cool with that. It's just a question of kind of breaking through. That's always my problem is, you know, I just kind of get swept aside because there's just so much stuff out there.
So many games coming out.
Right.
I know there's, Joe and everyone on SML, just guys cover so many games each week. And
That's part of what's so great about you guys is that you guys cover just so much stuff that's like, it's just so nice and refreshing that people just cover sort of whatever. I mean, there are some sites that are just sort of, well, we only cover
your game's big enough.
Or like big indie that's only going to be noticed on Game Pass. Or like, how about the cooler underrated games like yours and other, you know, other developers and stuff.
Right. Which goes back to the whole full circle at the beginning about the cool kids being in our achievement list. Right. It's sort of, you know, I need one of those things where it's sort of like the merit tournament, where it's like the Zen tournament, where you sort of like, if you just beat the level well enough, then you get covered. That's what I need.
Well, I got to agree with Rootbeer on this one. I think a Switch port might be a really good idea. Shooters do really well over there. Okay. I think it might be worth looking into.
I think so, too.
If Nintendo will pick you up. And I mean, I can't imagine they wouldn't. Have you seen some of the shit they allow on their store?
Yeah, and same with Xbox. Like, I mean, there's some games that even get by on Xbox that I'm not going to mention any names. I know Joe, you guys
link me to them later.
Talking to what games I'm mentioning, but I'm like,
we're just saying shitty.
I'm sure that some of your other stuff could definitely have a good chance of coming out on Xbox. You know, I mean, you got 100 Bullets out, and there's some stuff that makes it through the ID program that I don't know how it does. So. You know,
I'm curious to know more about Spaceballs in the future, because the fact that you have a Spaceballs quote there makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah. Spaceballs was sort of the problem with that is that it sort of blew up into this big thing. It was going to be sort of a grand 4X strategy where you're taking over the galaxy, but then you sort of wind up playing against an AI that represents your old move. So it's sort of like, It's going to be like sort of, you have to be not only the boss of the multiverse, but the boss of the timelines too. Ooh. And it was going to go off the rails and just be, but the problem is it turned into such a huge project that I it's one of those projects that I would love to get people to get some, maybe like a publisher or like, and get more team members to work on it. But the problem is that it just became huge.
Schwartz be with you.
Right.
Like, and huge Schwartz.
that's the, you know, space is a dictatorship and it's all about the size of your ship, right? I mean, that's
dictatorship. Yeah, I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's about how big your ship is, right? Can you, right? So the other thing is that I would, for that project, I would really like to get some comedy writers to help me, like, do kind of Spaceballs shtick. So.
That sounds hilarious.
And that would be, I'm so like shocked that you thought of that project, because I was like, I hadn't thought of that for years. I was just like, oh, yeah, well, I did make that concept.
I was digging through your page, looking through what you've done. I like to kind of do a little bit of, well, I try to do a little bit of research as best I can. And I just, that quote caught my eye. And I love Spaceballs. And the fact that you have a Spaceballs quote just makes me happy.
I just really hope that kind of humor never dies, and that there's always another iteration of Spaceballs for the rest of eternity.
Yes.
I hope they
never remake it, though. Like,
well, yeah, a remake. Like, if they, yeah, I mean, I just hope that
don't fuck with a classic, right?
Yeah, that's fair. I just mean that kind of the spirit of that has to go on, right?
Parody must live on.
Spiritual successor.
Yeah.
100 Spaceballs.
100 Spaceballs.
I know we've been chatting for a while about the game. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
I never know what kind of stuff is actually interesting to people. So I
can kind of help you guide you a little bit with that, because I know you mentioned it earlier, but you know, feel free to like pimp it out on the show about it. You're working on a social network, right?
Sure. Yeah, I can make that pitch. SwgIO.com. If you are interested in joining up, we're doing a social network, and the idea is that it's actually run by human beings, which, as you know, with some of the other social networks, they have kind of these weird kind of robot slash billionaire leaders. And so our network, and then our network is kind of homemade and run by humans, and like the stuff that makes it to the top is curated by actual people, as opposed to kind of just bots.
Bots and bots, yeah. That's right. That makes sense. I mean, I like the idea because it's just humans. You're not dealing with
yeah. It's technology. Sort of the idea is that it's supposed to be based on people. It's I mean it's social, right? So it should be
right.
Kind of human interaction. So we're working on that, and the idea is that we're going to be able to include. We may launch some games on that. We have some smaller games that are sort of .io web games that you can play, and we're sort of linking them into the network. And then there's ways to kind of play with friends and stuff like that. So that's if you just reach out to me, Michael, please know on everything, and you can. If you just see me, I'll send you a key to that, and just, I'd be happy to have you join.
Or whatever. Yeah. What? Yeah, so silverwaregames.io. I put it in the chat, and Joe will put it in the links as well.
Yeah,
there's actually a sign-up form that just basically it just sends me an email that says, like, hey, I'd like to sign up. Then eventually we're going to add more hooks in terms of, like, we're going to do it so that if you win some of our games, you can get keys or whatever, all sorts of stuff down the line, but...
Yeah, we could use something new, because the social networks out there right now are going to shit.
Yeah, that's a topic that is, like, I rant about that all the time, because it's just, everything is just... so mixed up, and it's just like it's kind of I think about your show, and it's just like when you tweet about your show, that deserves so much more attention than some of the, like, there's some tweets that I've seen that get like hundreds of thousands of likes, and I just look at it and I go, why is this the popular tweet when you've got someone who's saying something constructive and positive and like helpful and smart?
Yeah.
Like that stuff just gets buried, and it just,
like meme or something, like some clickbait meme.
Right. Yeah. It'll be some angry, like it'll be some really nasty thing. Like, oh, everyone who disagrees with me should explode. Right. And you're like, why did that negative, nasty tweet get like all this views? So don't get me started on that. I'll talk for like 10 hours about how I just, to me, it's not even about like free speech or anything like that. It's about emphasizing the good communication that's actually meaningful. That's what it's about. That's what you want.
Right. For sure.
I don't know. That's my pitch for Civil War Games IO.
Well, I am definitely interested in signing up. So shoot me an invite code. I'll gladly be a part of that. And, only if I get a check mark, though. Can I have a check mark?
Well, we have badges. So you can, anyone can choose to pick a badge. And the idea is that the badges are just sort of give you a little hint of your personality. So there's like a smiling badge, or there's like a grumpy badge, or it's a little bit like a name tag. It's not one of these things where it's sort of like, well, if you have a badge, you're better than me. It's just sort of to help people know, like, oh, this person's, like, there's the I'm friendly to noobs badge, so, like, I help newcomers kind of badge, and you can pick which one you want. So that's there you cool. go. That, you can have one of those. Nice.
Sounds good. Yeah, send me an invite, too. Sure.
That's no check mark.
I'll check it out. All right.
Check.
Jacob Aki, any more questions from you two?
No, I'm way too far gone.
Jacob,
you're too far into the abyss of your gaping butthole, right?
Oh no, buttholes.
Yes, he is.
We didn't hear it today. No one clicked on the sound. I didn't want to interrupt like last time.
Oh, you don't want to interrupt. Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah, I've already
You always for, like, do on every episode. You will raid a single person raid of just
at the
you
best time.
Just to hear that clip from Jacob.
It's true.
Jacob, do you realize we use a sound clip of you?
Yeah, you. Yeah, I mean, like, okay. You cleared it with me.
That's right.
Oh, you get permission for your guests, sometimes. For your crew? No.
I got to make sure that they're not mad at me. We do have to move on. We have news that we got to take care of. Did you guys want to stick around and chat news with us?
I mean, I'm probably going to get going shortly here. I'm going to hang out and chat, but thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Carnage.
Yeah,
go ahead, Michael.
I hope you don't mind if I head out. It's a little bit past my bedtime, and you know, talking to people really drains my energy, so I kind of have to go back into my shell.
Totally understand.
I hear you. It's kind of the same sometimes.
Carnage, thanks you for being here, hanging out. Michael, thank you so much for coming on, hanging out with us, talking about the game. One last time, give us the sales pitch on 100 Bullets. What is it? How much is it? Where can we get it? Give us all the info.
100 Bullets is on Xbox. It is, you can go to 100bullets.com to get the link. And it is a game about dodging your own bullets inside a ring. As you send out bullets, they bounce back at you. And it is a new take on shoot 'em ups, and it's kind of a puzzle shmup. And you can get it now on Xbox, and we're doing a big Zen tournament to... If you win the Zen tournament, you will get an achievement named after you.
Yeah, pretty awesome stuff. And it's a fun game, so check it out, guys.
It is good stuff. Thank you so much for coming on. We will let you two get going. You could just hop off the call. We are going to continue on with the news. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Just thank you so much. It's always an honor when someone wants to actually hear about my games. I know that's kind of sad, but it's just like, it's really nice that you took the time. And then, like, I'm super impressed that you heard of Space Boss. That, like, blew me away, because no one knows about that. So thank you so much for having me, and it's just been a real pleasure.
Hey, come back sometime. We would love to have you again.
Hey, I'm happy to.
Have a good night.
All right, take care.
See you later.
Later, Carnage.
Yeah.
All right, you two ready for news?
Sure.
Jacob's like, I'm ready to just...
I'm ready to just die, yes.
How much did you drink, Jesus?
Drink.
Smoke. Eat. Smoke. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck you do. As far as I'm concerned, you snort everything.
The guy who has allergy issues snorts everything. Yeah, that makes total fucking sense.
It does. That's how you got your allergy issues.
That's not even how that works.
I don't care. PlayStation Plus added a bunch of new games, or they announced a bunch of new games that are coming to the Extra and Premium tiers. Extra, doing pretty good.
Cool.
Extra is doing great. Premium.
That's nice. Cool.
Remember Premium? How we've had that talk about Premium?
Nope.
Sure.
Classics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Now I know what you're talking about.
PS1 games in it?
Yeah. PS Plus Extra Editions. Let's go through these. Skyrim for PS4 and PS5. Nice addition. Bunch of Tom Clancy stuff. Rainbow Six Siege, The Division 2, and Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Two good games and one NTF piece of shit.
Three solid editions. Square has a Kingdom Hearts package with Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 Remix for the PS4, Kingdom Hearts 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue for the PS4, Kingdom Hearts 3 for the PS4, and Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory for the PS4.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you too can be confused by that entire storyline.
No, I won't. Then there's a bunch of cool indies. We got Oddworld Soulstorm for PS4 and PS5. Huh? Chorus for PS4 and PS5.
Very nice. I've only heard good things about that game.
Gardens Between for PS4 and PS5.
That was an awesome game.
Nice. What Remains of Edith Finch for the PS4.
That was also an amazing game.
Yeah, and then there's even some, I don't want to call them like B-movie games, but that's about what they are. With two Earth Defense Force games, World Brothers and Iron Rain for the PS4, and then Onichanbara Origin for the PS4.
Nice.
All of those games coming later this month to PS Plus Extra Tier. Great additions. Great shit.
Very nice.
Do you want to hear the classics?
Sure.
Five Ratchet and Clank, PS3 only streamers.
Okay.
That's it. Remember how I wanted PS1 games?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Remember how they said it was going to have PS1 games?
Remember how I wanted PSP games? Nothing.
I don't know if they said that was going to be in there or not, but I remember they specifically said PS1 2 games were going to be in it.
Then the worst part is they have Ratchet and Clank. Like, Ratchet and Clank, Ratchet and Clank 2, Going Commando, Up Your Arsenal, Deadlocked. Those are all PS2 games. You could have released the PS2 versions of those so people could download them instead of stream. What the flying fuck?
Stupidity. Stupidity as far as the eye can see.
I've said every month that I regret going with the premium tier, and oh my god, I regret going with the premium tier. Extra knocking it out of the park. They are doing awesome. It's not Game Pass levels yet, but they're doing some solid stuff with Extra. Premium, fuck you, Sony. Give me something worthwhile. Anyway, Halo Infinite campaign co-op finally went live, along with Mission Ooh. Replay, a free 30-tier battle pass, and the Forge beta.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
So now me and a friend are finally going to go through All Skulls on Legendary. Nice.
Nice. Now I can finally play the game.
Yeah, I will try to help you through it on easy. Nice.
Some potential good news for Xbox and, PC probably. Maybe not Switch. But in the latest Final Fantasy 16 trailer, it states that it's anticipated to release in summer 2023 and is exclusive for 6 months. That's it.
If they actually release it after that 6 fucking months, cool.
Yeah, I don't know if that means it'll hit PC after 6 months, or yes. Maybe it'll hit PS4 after 6 months.
It's going to hit PC after.
But... Maybe that means we'll see an Xbox release shortly after. So, fingers crossed.
Hopefully, but, you know, I'm still waiting for fucking Final Fantasy VII, you douches.
Yeah. I'm hoping either later on this month or next month, they're going to announce it as a Game Pass edition with Crisis Core releasing.
Yeah, I hope so, because I don't know who's going to be like, yes, I want to play basically what I think is the prequel to Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah,
I'd never get to play Final Fantasy VII.
I would like to see it happen, but who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I'm personally not super interested in that game because I can't play Final Fantasy VII. That's I think that would be the market. You want to get the people who like that game to want to play the prequel to that game. Yeah, just releasing the prequel. I don't know how well that's going to sell. And if it doesn't sell well, I can just imagine them being like, see, when we bring the game here, it doesn't sell well. Like a bunch of fucking numpties.
Hey, that's like Square releasing Octopath 2 on the PlayStation, where Octopath 1 doesn't exist, but they're not releasing it on Xbox, where Octopath 1 does exist.
I wonder if that sold well. I have trouble imagining a second game in a series of games selling well on a console that's never played the first.
Well, I don't know if it sold well because it went right to Game Pass with zero marketing. Like, no one talked about it. It was just, guess what's on Game Pass? Here it is. Bye.
Okay, so it was a DOA game. Okay,
yeah, cool. It's the same thing with everything Square has put on Game Pass, like Dragon Quest Builders 2. That was direct to Game Pass. Zero fanfare. Dragon Quest XI, direct to Game Pass, zero fanfare.
It's a shame.
I know.
They could probably do really well if they just, you know, supported what they were doing.
I mean, look at how it's going with Atlas and Persona. Like, I looked at my friend list. I don't have too many friends on Xbox. I keep it pretty pared down. Over 30 people have played Persona on my friend list.
Nice.
Normally, a popular game gets like 15 out of my friends. Yeah. So a lot of my friends have been playing Persona. Hopefully, that's a sign that it's doing well, but who knows? I hope it does well. I hope the whole series does well. I hope that Xbox gamers show that there is a market for RPGs here. besides me.
I have a feeling before I lose Game Pass, I'm going to end up buying the Persona games.
Yeah, you should. Get the Steelbook while you still can.
Maybe.
Celebrate 15 years of Assassin's Creed the way a true Viking would by buying DiGiorno Pizza. They're offering,
give me those codes, people.
They're offering DLC for three games. The first code redeems a Mystic Naval Pack and XP boost for Assassin's Creed Valhalla. The second code unlocks a Shark Naval Pack in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And the third unlocks the Pharaoh Armor in Origins.
Yeah, I want all of those.
So you can get exclusive Assassin's Creed content with DiGiorno Pizza.
I'm disappointed none of it is like pizza themed.
I know.
Like, it's like you don't get like a ship that's just like it looks like a huge pepperoni pizza or some shit. I don't know. Or like you get a shield that looks like a pizza. Like
a shield that's, I'm so just disappointed, a giant slice of pepperoni. That would be amazing. Sword with a giant breadstick.
Like we need some modders to get onto this.
Yeah. DiGiorno, you had a shot. EA is dropping Project Cars from their portfolio completely to focus on other games.
Whoa, what a surprise.
Yeah. Go figure that a franchise that was released by Namco won't be continued on at EA.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, then again, I mean, like, when's the last time we got a fucking Burnout game?
Don't remind me.
Yeah.
Switch sales are now over 114 million units.
Nice.
That is
bonkers. I would just like to say this about Burnout. Like, shut up, Aki. Anyway, I just wish that they would make Burnout 3 Takedown available for download on Xbox. And honestly, I think I'd be satisfied if I just had that game. Like, if they never made another Burnout game, I think I would be satisfied if I could just have Burnout 3 again.
It plays on 360, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Fire B360 and try it.
I don't... Dude, my Burnout disc is down in, like, the basement. I'm not going to walk my fat ass down there and then up here just to turn on an Xbox 360.
Lazy bitch. Animal Crossing New Horizons has become the best-selling game of all time in Japan.
Yeah, that I didn't expect.
All time in Japan. That is nuts. Good contribution. Nice.
I don't fucking know, man. I'm talking to Carnage in chat.
Yeah, I mean, and I said something already. So.
Like, see, I'm finally, like, you know, being interactive in the chat, and you're like, why aren't you doing anything?
Still talking about
that fucking game. Damn it, Joe, like, you ask so much of us.
I do, and I get so little in return. Reports are coming out that Sony is partnering with NCSoft to make a Horizon MMO. That could be okay.
I'm not a big proponent of MMOs in general, so that's a meh to me.
What all has NCSoft worked on?
I have no idea. I've never heard of them.
I know that they just do a bunch of MMOs. That's
yeah, that's why I don't know who they remember are.
Which ones.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, Guild Wars, Blade and Soul. Right, you know what? Fuck you. I won't read it then.
That works.
Fuck you. I knew you were going to say it.
Guild Wars, Blade and Soul, so Aeon, much, Lineage. They were involved with Fuser, which is interesting.
That sounds familiar.
But yeah, it looks like they're a decent company. There's nothing super predatory about them. Their games are seemingly solid. I really enjoyed my time with Guild Wars 2 when I played it. Yes, I played a PC game once upon a dream. I actually upgraded my graphics card specifically so I could play Guild Wars 2.
And then you stopped playing it after how many games?
6 months, 7 months.
Oh, so you played it a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah.
I figured you'd played it like once or twice and then never came back to it.
No, MMOs usually hook me for a couple of months and then I'll drop off. And then like a year later, I'll get that itch again.
Mm.
Yeah, like I'm just talking about this. I'm getting the itch to like fire up Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, see, I The last time I played an MMO was Maple Story, and I played it for like 3 or 4 days, and then I was like, this is fucking stupid, and never played it again.
My problem is every time that they offer a free weekend in Final Fantasy 14, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm going to download this. I'm going to play it. Or no, not I'm going to download it because I have it downloaded on my PlayStation. I'm going to update it. And then I start the update and I forget about it.
Good job.
And then the free weekend's over.
Good job.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Let's see. What other news do we have? WrestleQuest, the wrestling RPG from Skybound Games and Megacat Studios, is going to be hitting console and PC in May. It features 30 wrestlers, including Macho Man Randy Savage, Coco Beware, Jake the Snake Roberts, the Road Warriors, Andre the Giant, Sergeant Slaughter, and Jeff Jarrett.
I'm guessing that's not good.
He's a douche.
Ah, okay.
He tried to sell gold.
So did Ric Flair.
I mean, selling gold is something stores do all over.
Like on the internet, like pyramid scheme gold.
Oh.
Yeah. It wasn't pretty.
Which would you rather have, Jeff Jarrett or Virgil?
Virgil. Virgil has been money.
Like Devil May Cry?
No, the Million Dollar Man's... butler. Bitch. I don't know what he was.
It was the 80s.
It was like a hyper racist.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. But Virgil won the $1 million championship off him, so there was retribution in the end. And then he went to WCW as Vincent, and he still sucked. Damn. Yeah. Last bit of news.
And now he sells his autograph in the New York City subway for $40.
Oh, Virgil. Anyway, last bit of news I have is Tales of Symphonia Remastered has gotten a release date. It'll be hitting Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, and PS4 on February 17th. I think it's curious that it's hitting Series X and S, but not PS5.
I didn't know that this even existed. Now I need to go look this up. I want to see how pretty it is.
The bad news is it's apparently still only 30 FPS.
I don't even care.
GameCube was 60. How can GameCube run something better than current shit? It's apparently...
Maybe they're going that everything's in 4K route as well, and...
From what I've seen in the trailers, it doesn't look like it's much of an upgrade, but I'm excited that it's coming to Xbox, so I'll pick it up anyway. I liked Symphonia on the GameCube. I'll give this one a go. I'll play it again.
Yeah, this does not look all that particularly better. That's a shame.
Yeah. Aki, what news do you have?
Well, I have a few pieces because for once I'm actually halfway decent.
No, you're not.
No, yeah, probably. apparently Netflix is planning on bringing Gears of War to live action.
And a cartoon series.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the live action. I think that the animated series is probably going to do well. The live action, I don't know if they can get people who look that roided the fuck out.
Batista. if they don't get Dave Batista for it, they're out of their minds. He's a big actor now. He gets a lot of work. And he's in Gears, what is it, Gears 5 is the one that's out now?
Yeah.
He's in Gears 5 as DLC because people want him as Marcus. So
yeah, but they need like 50 of him is the problem.
They need to sign him up. Yeah, Terry Crews. Coltrane. Holy shit, that's amazing.
He would make a great
Coltrane. Oh, he would be an amazing Coltrane.
Coltrane has a whole grain!
Okay,
spice!
I would love that. The creator, basically the father of VR, decided in his infinite wisdom, because he's psychotic, to create a one-of-a-kind headset. If you die in the game, you die in real life. He has attached explosives to the... headset, and if you die in the game, it literally will explode your brain.
Well, he says he has half of it, which is the explosive part. Like, he's not sure how the rest of it would work.
He doesn't have the game yet. He just has the murder.
Well, no, it was supposed to, it was supposedly inspired by like Sword Art Online.
Yes.
Yeah, he wants it to be an MMO.
Yeah, and he said right now he's too afraid to actually put the thing on because it's too volatile. Who'd ever think that if you put a whole bunch of plastic explosives on a headset that it might be volatile? He's a fucking idiot. Oh my god, that's terrible.
Love it. And then who wants to review that?
I will. If it explodes, I don't have to do anything. I'm fine.
No. Because that's actually the problem. What if it doesn't work? And then next week you're all like, so, Aki, tell us about this game.
That'd work too. Whatever. I wouldn't have enough brain cells to function anymore. It's fine.
Jaws half falling off. Does that mean like all didn't of a sudden play?
We get all these people from like Best Gore like showing up in our Twitch. Can you put Aki on camera?
No.
No, that'd be disgusting. Even without being gory, that'd still be disgusting. Well, if I was missing a jaw, it might be better, but and then from, you know, stupid news to more dumb fuck news. Twitter is, you know, stupid because Elon Musk is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And Nintendo of America got spoofed. It was Nintendo of US, and they were pretending to be Nintendo of America. It was up for 2 hours, and they were shitposting, basically. They posted something that had Peter Griffin, however it is, butt naked on a dolphin from one of the episodes. I don't know what one, but they also had like Super Mario flipping the bird to people, all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, someone actually said that, and their reply was, well, he just did. I was like, by the way, fair enough. That
Nintendo of US is also Nintendoofus.
Yes.
Of all the fake tweets, the ones I've enjoyed the most are a bunch of Rudy Giuliani ones where he's just acting like a boomer. And
I was about to go through some of the other people.
The other one is two different fake accounts for Chiquita Bananas. One of them is just like, we just overthrew Brazil today. And then the other one's just like, please ignore the tweet from the false account. We haven't overthrown a government since 1954.
Some other people that got spoofed, other than those, Valve got spoofed. Ben Shapiro got spoofed, even though the spoof said stuff that I'd expect Ben Shapiro to say, because he's also a fucking moron. They spoofed Joe Biden, George W. Bush.
Joe Biden said he was going to suck his own dick.
Yeah, it was all about him masturbating and stuff. It was terrible. George W. Bush was
a pretty funny one.
Yeah,
I miss bombing Iraq or something like
that. Yeah.
Oh, and then a fake Tony Blair account was just like, me too, buddy.
Yeah. Then there, you know, for you sports people, LeBron James, Connor McDavid, Adam Schefter, and OJ Simpson all had accounts spoofed. Yeah, the OJ one. It was like, I ain't even gonna lie. I did it. It was fantastic.
Remember when OJ was topical humor back in the 90s?
As far as I'm concerned, he's still topical
OJ humor. And Pogs.
Most of them got taken down within a half hour, but the Nintendo of US it was up for a couple hours, and people are not happy about that.
Jeez.
As you can imagine, and apparently the FTC is looking into all of this because a bunch of heads of like security and privacy and stuff just quit. So the FTC is looking into Twitter now too. They're like, everything that's happening recently here, yeah, we're keeping a good eye on this because no. So yeah, that's great.
Nice. Jacob, what news do you have?
Nothing.
Oh, wait, is
wonderful.
Okay, yep. Wait, I have to look up this thing from Thimber. They say that Ben Shapiro is related to the girl who played Matilda.
She's talked about that. She fucking hates him.
Really? That?
Yeah, like they're like cousins.
Oh wow, I feel so bad. so bad for her. Oh no.
Yeah, like she's talked about him at length on Twitter. Like she fucking hates him. Like never sees him at family gatherings and all that kind
of
stuff.
You know what we've talked enough about of Ben Shapiro?
Any amount is too much.
So reviews, are we ready to do these?
Sure.
Because we don't need to talk about Twitter more. Like you're not even on Twitter anymore. I don't think you're allowed to talk about it, are you? Is there a restraining order?
No. There probably fucking should be, but there's not.
First game to talk about tonight is Garfield Lasagna Party, developed by Balio Studio, published by Microids, released November 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Garfield, Odie, Arlene, and Normal have imagined the craziest minigames for their huge lasagna party that you are invited to. Be ready to give your best to finish ahead of your opponents by winning as many of the 32 minigames as possible. Summon all your luck when throwing the dice and use your special items to take advantage upon your friends. Garfield Lasagna Party is the game to share with your friends and family in the company of your favorite characters. Jacob, what is going on in Garfield Lasagna Party?
Not going to lie, it kind of caught me off guard because I thought we were going to be starting off with a different game.
Nope. Starting with Garfield.
Makes sense. I mean, you know, the greatest comic strip of all time. How can you not? All right. So this is pretty much like a Mario Party esque game. And you have, you're only given four characters, Garfield, Odie, Arlene, and Nermal. And you go around this board game like setup and you have to roll the dice. And people can, like, you can either use items that will help you, it'll give you more spaces or it'll let you re-roll the die. But other people can use, like, coins that they've gathered up throughout the game, to use items that, will take away stuff or make you re-roll. So when you're playing this, if you're playing a normal game, you get 10 rounds of different games as you move through, the board, and each round is going to be a different game, and it's different mini games. Like you have to dodge dogs, but also like, and then there's another one where you have to dodge dogs and also pick up these like candies that fell off a tree or something like that, or like you have to carry the lasagna the longest for the most time. And yeah, I mean, it's fairly simple stuff. There were a couple of games where I thought the controls were a bit off. And also, like, there were some games I didn't think were properly explained. Unfortunately, I can't remember the specific examples of them. But, now I do remember. It was actually, like, one of the lasagna ones where you had to run after people, but then you could also kind of grab them, but it never seemed like the grab function was working. I don't know. But...
Is that the one where you had to get the ingredients in order from the tables?
I'm not sure. I don't remember what exactly it was. Another one was the pizza one. I didn't feel like the mouse thing was always accurate when I was clicking on the pizza box. But yeah, I mean, like, it's fun games. I mean, like, these aren't, like, the most earth-shattering stuff, but honestly, if you're looking for a decent party game, especially one that's, like, aimed at kids, and also if you really like Garfield, then this is, like, it's not a bad title. I didn't really find fault with it. It's just...
My big fault with it is that they're, like, I know you said, hey, there's 32 minigames, but in my eyes, it's like, there's only 32 minigames. Like, look at a Mario Party game. Those usually but that's have also like 70 or 80.
Yeah, but that's also Nintendo. I mean, like, they've got... I don't know. I feel like I would judge this different as a licensed game.
I don't know. The fact
you have to remember, Nintendo literally owns Bank. So,
yeah.
I can't fault a game for having less than fucking Nintendo.
I
mean,
I don't expect it to be on the same level as Nintendo, but when it's two-thirds of the price, give me two-thirds of the game. There's only 30 games. That's not two-thirds. That's not even half.
I don't know. And also, some of the games seem to repeat themselves, like, with just simple, like, very simple variations. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, there's a lot of simplicity to it, but it is aimed towards a younger audience, so the simplicity is not necessarily a bad thing. I do appreciate that you can, anytime, just go to the one mode and play any of the mini games anytime you want. So it's not all down to random chance of what the game gives you. If you doing something, you could just be like, I want to do this one.
Yeah. And on top of it, if you're an achievement hunter, all the achievements are just place first in this thing. So
in each you of can just hop into that games, menu. There are 32 achievements, one to win each of the 32 mini games. I'm the first.
So congratulations for that thing. Can you turn off the AIs and play just only yourself as
that's
one?
That's one how Joe did it.
Nice.
You need to either have four local people or AI.
Oh, well, you need a total of four people?
Oh, well, yeah, but you just used four controllers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's what I thought Aki just asked.
No, she asked if you can have no AI and just yourself. Well, just
a I misunderstood.
Yeah, if technically you can have yourself playing against nobody if you have four controllers and just hit the A button on every controller and play yourself, but that's clearly not how the game's intended to be played. Achievement hunters will do that.
Yeah, sadly, I only have three controllers. One off.
Well, then play against one AI and see how you could do. Again, my biggest worry with this game is $40. It seems kind of steep for what's there. I mean, it's fun. It's cute. Technically, it worked well. Visually, it looks good. There's nothing offensive about the game. It's cute. It's adorable. I wish it were $10 cheaper.
I can agree with that kind of sentiment. But at the same time, the way I view this is that this game is made for an audience that doesn't buy games particularly often, or if they do, it's just standard games for kids. And $40 really does seem to be the price point for that. I mean, do I personally agree with that price? No, but I understand the market for it though. Yeah. That being said, I'm kind of with Joe on the price. Like if you're not a casual gamer, then you're going to want to wait for a sale on this one.
All right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, next game, Return to Monkey Island, developed by Terrible Toy Box, published by Devolver Digital, released November 8th on Xbox Series X and PS5 for $24.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Banter with old friends and new faces on familiar islands now under new dangerous leadership. Then take to the high seas and explore the new and unknown as you work your way out of tough predicaments. Clever puzzles, bizarre situations, and devastating ripostes are all that stand between Guybrush and glory. Jacob, what is going on in Return to Monkey Island?
It is so good to be back. So with this... It is it's much like the previous ones. It's a classic point and click adventure, very much done in the same, like, I mean, I wouldn't say exactly. I mean, it doesn't have that exact pixelated thing, but it's very much the same art style as the previous ones. This whole story involves Guybrush, sitting down with his kid and telling, you know, one of his fantastic stories, as to how he discovered the secret of Monkey Island. And so, yeah, so you're playing the game in the past, but of course, like, the game will take breaks and, like, you know, the kid's talking to his dad and asking questions and, you know, more comedy ensues. But yeah, it's just the same kind of puzzles, like the same amazing writing, the creators back for this one. And it's just like, it's just as, like, I don't know, like, honestly, it's just wonderful. Like the same amount of adventure, like, you're not sure, like, where you're going to go next, challenging puzzles, witty fucking dialogue. Like, it's all here. And on top of it, like, I really appreciate how there is a casual mode and there is a hardcore mode. And the casual one, that one is just really for the people who are there for the story, and like, so the puzzles aren't going to be nearly as hard. And in hardcore, like, holy shit. It is like, not only do you have to like be on the right places on the map, but it's just like, there better be like a purple mushroom in this thing, or like, you know, like the sky must be blue. Like, you have to have like all sorts of the right conditions for it. So whether you're looking for either just a great yarn or a holy shit, this is a super challenging point and click adventure, like, Return to Monkey Island is awesome. Like, this thing has been a lot of fun to play, and I can't wait to finish the story on it.
How much time have you put into it? Few hours?
I mean,
do you know how long it is?
I don't know how long it is, but like, from how I've been playing, it seems like it's probably somewhere between like 6 to 8 hours. But I was playing it for like, cause I don't get to play games for that long each day. Cause you know, work and kids. But I was averaging like 2 or 3 hours per night with it. And
just looks up, it looks to be about a 10 to 12 hour game. So that's a pretty good length.
Yeah. And honestly, it keeps your attention the whole time. Like, whatever.
Best part is it's on Game Pass. So if you're not sure, if the graphics for some reason turn you off, I know a lot of people have been, combative on the visuals in the game. I think they look fantastic, but
yeah,
some people don't like them. It's like when Zelda went Wind Waker, people are like, it doesn't look great. I think the new one looks great, but if you're on the fence about it, it is on Game Pass. So you could download it, give it a go there, but $25. What's your verdict?
Honestly, $25 is an absolute fucking steal for this game. I was honestly expecting it to be somewhere around like 40 to 60, and I would have been fine with it.
Cool.
Like, I highly recommend this.
Nice. I am eager to give this one a go whenever I have time for it. It's just, I'm so busy.
I know.
I'm so busy petting cats on my back porch.
That's weird. All right, don't whisper like that, please.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Uncomfortable.
Bye.
Oh, God.
Next game to talk about is Save Room, developed by Fractal Projects, published by Rattlake Games, released November 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. When you enter a save room and you know you're safe, no danger can come to you, you can relax. Take advantage of this short period of time to organize your inventory, heal your wounds, and reload your weapons. You make all your items fit into your inventory. Jacob, tell us about Save Room.
Yeah, so there isn't really much to describe to it. It's just like, do you remember the briefcase from Resident Evil 4?
It's a game now.
Yeah, like, it's a whole puzzle game. And so each level is you trying to make sure you can make everything fit into like your little friggin' briefcase thing. Like, and so each level will present you like, all right, for example, it could be like you have like 3 eggs, 4 boxes of ammo, and 2 guns, like one's a pistol, one's a shotgun, and both of them are empty. And you only have like X amount of tiles to work with. Well, like, what you do is that you load up each of the guns. All right. So that, you know, takes away some of that kind of stuff. And then also, like, you try to see if you can combine stuff. Like, sometimes ammo will combine. And there's a couple of other stuff, and also you have to like heal yourself up during this game in later levels. But yeah, there's not much to it.
I love the concept of it.
It's a really chill game. Like, I appreciate that it's like survival horror, but really it's just a big puzzle.
Yeah, I love
like the concept. There's no monsters.
I loved Resident Evil 4. Playing with the case and inventory management, I never had an issue with, because I looked at it as a Tetris-like minigame, and now it's a Tetris-like game. And
yeah, this looks kind of cool.
Like,
yeah, it is.
I actually, just right now, I purchased it because I didn't realize it was out tonight. I just checked the store page and that's where it showed it was $5 and it was on sale for $3.99. And I'm like, God damn right, I'm buying this right now. So it's downloading on my system. I didn't even want to wait for the review. I'm confident that this is going to be an awesome game just based on the concept. And from what you're saying, it sounds like it's really solid.
Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, the graphics aren't anything to write home about, but that's not the point of the game. And it's just, it's an entertaining puzzle game. Like, this was
40 levels.
This was really well done.
40 levels and $5. What do you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And again, it's on sale for $3.99. So jump on that.
There you go.
All right, last game for you, Jacob. Hat Up, developed by Naoka Games, an East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released November 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Put on your thinking cap to solve problems with these puzzling platforms. Jacob, what is Hat Up?
So with Hat Up, you play this guy who can put on hats.
No!
I know, it very surprising. But the thing is that these hats that your character can put on do various stuff. Like sometimes they'll act like switches, other times they'll make certain blocks appear. But they're also always necessary to get to the end of the level. And there's various stuff throughout the level that's going to try to make you, like, prevent you from doing it. You know, environmental hazards, like spikes and the usual kind of stuff. But even like weird stuff, like the terrain just like won't let you have your hat on in a certain area until like you've cleared something else and like picked up a key or something like that. And so like it's an all right puzzle game. Like it does make you put in some thought to it. But it didn't also really blow me away. Like it's just, yeah, it's all right.
I mean, think the best way to put this is it's a $5 platformer.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not going to set the world on fire.
Like it was
okay enough, but
you have to have expectations going in that it's a cheaper budget game. It visually is nothing spectacular. I appreciate the ingenuity that when you have a hat on, certain blocks are there. When you take it off, they disappear and other blocks appear. I like that you have to pop the hat off in certain areas to make it through and then return. I didn't like how long some of the stages got later in the game and how much backtracking there was. I also didn't like that if you die 4 times on a level, it completely resets. And it's to the point where if I'm like part of the way through a level and I die, I'll just die 3 more times and start fresh. Instead, I didn't get that far, so fuck it. Let me just die 3 more times.
Yeah, it was okay, but it just, yeah, it's a $5 game.
Now, for $5, what do you say?
Fuck it, why not?
Sounds good. All right, you're done.
Thank God, I am so hungry.
How baked are you?
God, I was shut up for like most of the interview because I was just like, I can't really. And then like the news, I was just like, I don't know. Well, like, why don't you open up Kotaku and Eurogamer? No, that requires work. Not doing it. Wonderful. So, yep.
Well, do you have any final words?
Oh, you know what, Joe? We didn't talk about like the other kind of news.
Huh?
Movie watch garbage.
No movie watch with Outright.
There's nothing to really talk about yet.
Oh, it's
Outright.
Okay. Outright Games. They have an ambassadors program that you can sign up for and be an ambassador and who knows what, but Jacob and I got approved. We are ambassadors for Outright Games. We will be covering as many Outright Games as we can on the show, which is cool, but there's not really any news.
Nothing to report yet. I mean, fair enough.
What games has Outright made?
Oh, you want to know what Jacob's reviewing for next week? Sure. Jacob, what are you reviewing next week, buddy?
Hold on. Let me look up the full name. I don't remember it. There we go. Bratz, Flaunt Your Fashion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it because, like, why the heck not? And also, how many people are going to have this on their achievement list? It's like My Horse and Me Too and the Hannah Montana game.
Yeah, some of the games they've made sound nice by name.
Honestly,
Go ahead.
Like, I dig Outright's games for the most part. Like, they're solid kiddie games that you don't have to really put a lot of thought into, and for the most part, they're generally relaxing. Like, if you're really baked, I highly recommend checking out some of the Paw Patrol games.
Or if you have,
they are
kids.
Chill as fuck.
How about if you have kid, you know what they're intended for?
Oh yeah, that too. That too. Jesus. Also, if you have kids, we're such good ambassadors.
Oh, fuck you. all right. Do you have any final words?
Kids, but these look good.
Nah, I'm good.
Hey, bye.
Bye.
They have some stuff on.
Outright has some good shit.
Dragons and Steven
Universe. Yeah, I mean, they really do have a bunch of solid games.
And some of these.
Sorry, I haven't signed out yet because I had to log back in on my phone.
You're too big to figure out how. No.
Prodigy. Okay.
Yeah, I just fucking told you that.
I wasn't listening to you.
I know you don't listen to me, you fucking dick.
Next game to talk about is The Chant, developed by Brass Token, published by Prime Matter, released November 3rd on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $39.99. A single-player, third-person horror action-adventure game set on a remote island spiritual retreat. A peaceful weekend soon turns to dread after a group chant opens the gloom, a psychedelic dimension of terror that feeds off negative energy. That sounds wonderful. Interact with a recurring cast of characters, untangle the complex history of the island, and witness terrifying revelations about the cosmos. Only you can fight off the creatures, reason with the survivors, and unravel the legacy of a cult from the 70s to reverse the ritual. Aki, what is going on in The Chant?
Okay, in The Chant, you play as Jess. She has come to this little island place because her friend Kim invited her there forever ago. And this is a place of healing and peace, and it's totally obviously a cult. From the get-go, it's obvious. Your character decides, you know, Jess and Kim have a shared past that where something traumatic happened, and it's been bothering Jess as of late, so she decided, fuck it, I'll go. Maybe it'll help a little. Who knows? Immediately there, that very night, they and a handful of other people that are also part of the retreat, get really high on mushroom water, do a chant with these weird little colored prisms, and, summon monsters, basically. Then everyone goes batshit insane, and you have to figure out how to stop this shit so you can get the fuck out of there. A lot of this game, there's three different stats that your character has. They have body, which is your health. So when you take damage, some of the body goes away, and you can heal it by eating specific sets of plants that are for body. You also have mind, which is the most important one, because anytime you're in the dark, it goes down because Jess is scared of the dark. Anytime you're near flies, it'll go down because she's terrified of flies. And anytime you're in the gloom, which is a twisted version of a chunk of an environment, which is colored so you know, oh, I'm about to go into it. So it's not like you're just suddenly going to be like, oh, what the hell's going on? It also goes down. There's two ways of healing that. One of them is, again, another plant to munch on, because apparently she's vegan or something, I guess. And the other one is by sacrificing some of your third stat, which is spirit. And it is useful because while in the gloom, your character has superpowers, and you can use those powers, and they cost some of your spirit. There's kind of two ways to heal that up. One is there's sometimes some crystals around that you can stand near, and they bring it up to a certain amount, which is usually enough to use your power once, but they won't raise it any higher. And then there's plants that you can eat that give you a good chunk of regeneration. And as you use these abilities and eat the plants, you get experience to level up a circular tree. I don't like calling it a tree because it's not in the shape of a tree, but it's a circle and it has a bunch of powers in it that you can unlock. You know, some of them are you get more of that ability back when you eat a plant, or you can carry more plants. You take less damage from attacks, so on and so forth. And in this, while you're trying to keep all of these up so you don't fucking die, you are also coming across the gloom creatures. Your superpowers aren't the only ability you have. You can also craft some extremely basic weapons. And by this, I don't mean, oh, you craft a knife out of a rock and some twine. No, that's too advanced. You craft a fire lash, which is basically a tree limb that you've set on fucking fire and you hit people with it. Or, hey, here's this witch sage or something like that. And all it is a bunch of stuff that you've tied together with string and set on fire. Or here's this other plant that you tie together and you set on fire and you hit things with it.
Love it.
That is basically all of her crafted weapons is that. And obviously, because I say you have to craft them, you do have to find, you know, these plants as well as the plants that you can consume, because you can hold up to two of them unless you do upgrades to allow you to hold three. You have to find those in the environment, and weapons do degrade and break over time. There's three thrown weapons, which I never used, so I don't know how they work, to be honest. And then there's three melee weapons, and you can craft up to three of any given one of them. And if one of them breaks, you just pull out the next one of that same type, and if you don't have any more of that type, you just pull out one of the other ones that you have made. Each one of the melee weapons is more useful in different situations. Like the first one you make, it's very specifically to get rid of flies. And if your mind gets too low, you have a panic attack and a fly version of someone you know attacks you, and it's good against that thing. Whereas, you know, the branches are good against crazy cult members outside of the gloom, and then the witch sage or whatever the hell it is good against creatures that are inside the gloom, because it's more of a spiritual thingy or something. And there's some puzzles. There's only a couple of them, and they're, you know, find this item, start this up, and then you can move things around to make lights line up. None of them are hard. There's only one way to do them all, so very easy. Most of the puzzling really comes to how do you get through an environment? Because there's a lot of open areas, and anytime you enter the gloom, your mind starts to drop. However, sometimes in some of the gloom areas, there are monsters you can destroy, very specific monsters you can destroy that will get rid of the gloom in that area, making it able to be traversed without losing mind, which is super useful. However, at that point, the fly monster will still be coming at you, and the fly monster usually doesn't go into the gloom. So it's really up to you what you want to deal with more, an annoying fly fuck or, you know, going crazy. You do interact with some of the other retreat members. I refer to them as retreat members instead of cult members, even though they're cult members, because the cult members you attack are like from the 70s instead of the now times. So that's why I make a distinction between them. There's five or six of them that you get to interact with a little bit throughout the game. Some of them more than others. And obviously, Kim's one of them, your friend. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about the game. It's hard. I played it on easy, and I often did not have enough items to craft weapons. In the end part of the game, I actually ran out of stuff to attack things with.
Were you able and to finish?
Yes, I was able to beat it because some items respawned in that arena, basically, for the boss fight. And I was able to pick those up and was luckily able to craft a couple weapons. I almost ran out of those before it ended, too. But I did manage it.
Well, the game is sitting at $40 on Series X and S and PS5 and PC. It is not on PS4, Xbox One, new gen only. What are your thoughts?
If you want all the achievements, you're going to have to play through it three different times, because there's at least three different endings. One for having each one of your three stats as the max, the highest or whatever. So it's definitely going to give you the hours per dollar mark for sure, because cool. Three full playthroughs, this is like a 20 plus hour game. So I'm really for it. I liked the characters. I like the voice acting. Jess is really cute. So, you know, I'm all for it.
Awesome. Next game, we are going to take another look at the Eternal Cylinder, developed by Ace Team, published by Good Shepherd, available on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC for $24.99. Control a herd of charming creatures named Trebum and explore an unforgettable alien world filled with exotic life forms and surreal environments. Discover dozens of mutations to overcome puzzles, explore new biomes, and survive on a dangerous planet. Aki, Purnell covered this. I think it was Purnell, right?
I believe so, yes.
You were there, weren't you? Were you there?
I don't know if I was in there, but I was in the chat room at the very least, because I remember someone talking
about this game and really enjoyed it, and you were like, oh, I really wanted to check out that game, and they were cool enough to send us a code for you. So what do you think of the game?
I liked it just as much, I think Purnell. Again, since we're not 100% sure, I think it was Purnell. I liked it just as much as he did, I think. You play as these little, basically living fleshy stones of fat. and they consume stuff, and it causes them to evolve. And I don't know, it's just really fun. You get a lot of, you know, exploration. It's not like a gigantic open world, but you get big chunks of exploration in between little sections where you have to run from the cylinder or be squishied.
It was Andy who did the review. He wrote one in. That's right.
Okay. I didn't remember who did it.
I'm old. But
yes, you are.
I don't remember.
But do you remember the dinosaurs?
Where am I?
No, apparently not. Oh, well.
Is Matt walking on?
Probably.
Anyway, the cylinder, what are you thinking?
I'm for it. I really liked it. It's been really fun. I'm not finished with it yet.
It's a great looking game. Like, I didn't expect it to be so stylish and good looking. Oh, it's super
cute.
And that cylinder, like that, I'm going to have nightmares about that fucking cylinder rolling at me.
Thankfully, I won't, but it is fucking horrifying. I really like how all the plant life and the local animal life are so alien too. It's really nice, because most of them don't even look like anything based on real life. There's some, like, you get a giant snail basically, and you get like some sea creature that isn't in the sea, but most of the creatures don't look like anything that actually exists otherwise, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it is a, I would say, dare I say, the visuals in this game are quite unique.
Yes, I didn't want to say that myself, so.
Sometimes you just gotta say it. Sometimes that's the only word that'll do.
Yeah, and it is. It really is.
$25. What are your thoughts?
Yes. 100% yes. This is super cute. And I think I wouldn't give it to little kids, but older children, sure. Because little kids, again, that cylinder might give them, might legitimately give them nightmares, because it can get close to you, and it is legitimately kind of horrifying.
Oh, and when your controller starts rumbling,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
Then you know shit's about to go down. Oh.
For me, it was the most horrifying at the very, very opening of the game when it's all of like 10 feet behind you or something. Oh, my God. I didn't realize so it the first time. Oh. Mm. After that, it's very easy to dodge it. But
there are, if you're worried about the difficulty of the game, there are accessibility options that allow you to make it roll slower when it gets close to you. It cuts down on survival elements, because I'm not a fan of survival elements
at all. Yep, I turned those to the bare minimum because I was like, I don't want to deal with this shit. There is a hunger meter that you get the more you move around, or if you start rolling, which is how you move around faster. It does take away your energy meter, and eventually your hunger meter starts going up because your stomach empties. And you have to go and find food. There is a ton of food. However, you can run out of it pretty quickly because it doesn't respawn or anything. Yeah. So if you're going around, you know, just looking at stuff, just enjoying the environment, you're going to run out of food if you don't set it to less. And that doesn't affect any achievements. So Yay. Go enjoy your achievements.
You hear that, and, Carnage? Yeah. No, they didn't add 4,000 more. 25 bucks. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm for it. I think this is super adorable.
Cool. All right, next up, we're checking out some DLC tonight. First up is Escape Woo! Academy, Escape from Anti-Escape Island, developed by Coin Crew Games, published by IM 8-Bit, released November 11th for Escape Academy as part of the season pass for $14.99, or available individually for $9.99. After surviving an eventful first year at the Academy, it's time for a well-earned summer vacation. But when the escape jet is shot down over an uncharted island, relaxation turns to mayhem in this outlandish Escape Academy DLC hockey. You blew through this in a fucking night.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Tell and us about that it. Was. Okay. Yeah. This starts off literally right after the end of the game. You get into this by on the menu. You actually have to click your save. And when you're choosing your save, you can switch over to the DLC. Instead of playing the main game, you go to the DLC. It is its own individual thing. So it's not in the main game, sadly. And it starts immediately after the end of the main game. It's your summer school, basically. They're inviting you to go on vacation and do escapey stuff. Because everyone there is fucking obsessed with it. And yeah, you get shot down on a tropical island, and most of the people that were with you get captured and disappear. So it's up to you to save everybody. This has something like, I want to say like 8 levels or something. It's not a lot, but these get really hard really quickly. Lots of them are really easy, and probably one they meant to be easy was super hard for me because it had more answers than I think they actually thought there were for it. But, and these ones, they're all over, the puzzles for this are all over the fucking place. Some of them, you know, you have to solve, little word puzzles basically to get things to unlock. Some of them are, here's a giant minesweeper board. You have to walk on and solve it without stepping on any fucking bombs.
Oh, that was the one you really liked, wasn't it?
I did not particularly like that one.
By the way, I just checked. There are 5 new levels, escape room levels, 5. Each packed with puzzles and goodies, a whole new narrative, and new music, too, from Dose One.
No new achievements, sadly. No. No, I actually went and checked before the podcast, and it still says I have 1,000 out of 1,000.
Oh, that's a
and
bummer.
I didn't see any new ones.
I wonder if they're going to update that.
Hopefully, because I think this definitely deserves achievements. That wasn't the only puzzle I didn't like in it, though. There was another one that, as I said, probably meant to be easy, but there were so many things you had to look through to find it that it took me hours of just, because it was a cylindrical puzzle that basically had 3 circles, and there were multiplications 1 to 5 in each circle, and there was like five numbers total that you had to move in between those, and they had to equal a number. I had to go through all of that multiplication for every last one of those and figure out, okay, what goes into each one of these to make this? And I had to do every variation before I finally figured out what the actual answer was. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be that hard, because it's not even the last puzzle in the game. It's like one of the middle ones.
Oh, geez.
It took me like 4 or 5 hours, just that one. It was bad.
I felt so bad because you said you were stuck on it, and asked if I could email PR. So I emailed them, and it was a weekend, so I didn't hear back for a few days. And by then, you already figured it out. So
yeah, by the time I went to you to see if they had something, I was just before I started doing the math, and that math took me like 3 or 4 hours. Jeez. Just that math, and I hate that puzzle. Because of that. Now I can solve it easy, but God, that was terrible. It's not, most of these aren't difficult in so much that they're just hard puzzles to solve. Lots of them are actually difficult because it doesn't really explain what's going on all that well. And you have to figure out what you're doing in a limited time frame. And some of them are also hard because, for instance, the Minesweeper one, it is very easy to step on a square you don't mean to step on. And I can't imagine too many people are actually particularly good at Minesweeper, because that's an old person game. And I don't know very many young people, even my age, who like to play that game. They may have played it a few times, but like that's like doing math for fun. There's a group of people who do it. Most people do not. That's where a lot of the problems actually come in, why it's so difficult. It's not usually because the puzzles themselves are all that particularly hard. Because once you understand how they work, lots of them, you can blow through pretty easily. There's only a couple that are like, this is just hard to solve. Which is different from the main game. There were some of them that were just outright hard to solve. And you just had to learn the way of beating them very quickly, like I did.
Well, let's go through pricing on this. The episode by itself is $10. What are your thoughts?
I think it's probably worth that. I mean, each level, $2. I think that's good. Yeah.
Cool. Season pass, which includes this and one more DLC pack coming later on, is $15. Should you jump on that?
I think so, because if this one's $10, I have to imagine the other one's going to be $10.
Yeah,
which means you're saving money. Well. And lots of the season passes these days aren't really saving you any money at all. So, yeah, so the fact that
saving
this
money is good. Speaking of saving money, the game is a part of Game Pass. Unfortunately, the DLC is not on sale by itself. If you don't have the game is on sale with Game Pass for $15.99. Gotta love that discount. The deluxe edition with the season pass is discounted down to $27.99. So that's basically getting the season pass for $8. That's cheaper than this episode if you need the game. So if you need the game and the DLC, $28, your verdict.
Yes, 100% yes. I love this game, and the DLC is pretty fun, so yeah.
Cool. So again, that is the discount with Game Pass. You gotta have Game Pass for that discount. And if you have Game Pass, you could try the game. You can't try the DLC, you gotta buy the DLC, but you could try the game and go through it with Game Pass, because it's on Game Pass, and Game Pass is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next piece of DLC.
Yay. One final game to talk about tonight. We are taking one more look at Resident Evil Village, this time the Winter's Expansion, developed and published by Capcom, released October 28th for Resident Evil Village for $19.99. Gold edition of the game is available for $49.99. The game itself runs $39.99. Experience survival horror like never before in the 8th major installment in the storied Resident Evil franchise, Resident Evil Village. Introducing a new scenario starring a grown-up Rose, Ethan's beloved daughter, whose kidnapping as a baby kicked off the original Village story. Aki, what is going on in this new DLC?
All right. So, Rose is, you know, super crazy and weird, compared to, you know, normal kids. And for some reason, they decided to stick her with a bunch of normal kids to grow up with, which has made her not particularly happy with herself. Namely, she wants to be rid of her powers so she can finally be normal. And she meets with one of the squad that was Chris's team in the main game near the end of the game. It was one of the members in there talks with her. I don't know which one. Is like, hey, yeah, why don't you connect to this sample of the mutamycete, which is the giant fungal shit that is a big part of both 7 and 8. And, you know, in there, we think you might be able to find some of Miranda, the villain from 7, some of the knowledge of her knowledge, and maybe be able to get rid of your powers. And Rose is like, fuck yeah, and enters it. And then life is really not fun anymore for her. So she goes, basically is brought back to where you've been in Resident Evil 7. It's not as open. There are smaller areas. For instance, the first area you're in is Lady Domitresque's castle. The whole thing isn't open, but there are new parts of it that are open for Rose, which is really interesting. You get to see some of the areas that you weren't able to see in the main game. You're basically, she's trying to find this crystalline thing that should absorb her power and make her normal. And that's what this entire DLC is about, is her just trying to fucking find that so she can get rid of her powers while something dark and twisted inside this metamycete wants to get rid of her, basically. Each section plays slightly differently, but they play kind of like you'd expect them to play from the main game. Like, for instance, in the main game, there's the puppet lady's house, one of the main bosses, and you visit that, and it plays in a very similar fashion to what it did in the main game, which is really fun. Sadly, unlike Ethan, Rose has a very, very small bag to carry shit in. Like, super small. It was very difficult to manage her inventory because it was so itty-bitty. You also don't get very many weapons as Rose, and it's forced into third-person perspective. You do not get first-person as Rose. She gets, like, a shotgun and a pistol. And that's it. That's her weapons. The entire game. Yeah. You can beat this game or this DLC in maybe 8 hours ish. I beat it in one night in one sitting. So, you get to see some of the bosses from the prior games. Some of the characters that you may have met in prior games show up in this one. And it's really interesting. You get brand new enemies that are a different type of mold, basically. They're the evil mold, and they want to eat your face. They're called the Faceless, and they literally eat your face. If they catch you, they suck your face right off, and which sounds so bad. Oh god, why did I even say that? But that's what they do. It corrodes your face. You are not the only person stuck in there, and the other people stuck in there look very familiar. Like, exactly like you. Horrifying like you. And, you know, that's how you know what the faceless fucking do to people. It is terrifying. This has three different difficulties, I think, and I played it on the easiest, and it wasn't easy, so I don't know how the fuck you're supposed to beat this on the hardest difficulty, because there's an achievement for that, and I'm like, I'm not looking forward to that, because I don't know if I can do that. Jesus. because this does not have an upgrade system for your guns or anything. So you're not going to, you know, play through this and be like, okay, let's play new game plus of this DLC. And now I can make this shotgun infinite ammo. Yeah. No, you get very little ammunition in this. You still have your crafting, so you can still make ammunition stuff. But just like the main game, it's costly to make that stuff with the items. So you can't make too much with it, sadly. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought Rose was a really cool, interesting character. And I hope they have another piece of DLC in mind with Rose, because she was really interesting. And you get to see her really grow as a person throughout this DLC, which kind of surprised me, because Resident Evil is kind of shooty, shooty, bang, bang. So it was really nice.
Shooty, shooty, bang, bang.
Well, that's what it is. That's what it's been for a long while. Like, was there any character development in Resident Evil 4? No. 5? No. 6? No. Raccoon City? No. I can keep going. There's not been much. So the fact that she had character development was really nice. I really enjoyed that. And her voice actress did a fantastic
job. Cool. Well, $20 for the expansion. What are your thoughts?
I'm pretty sure it's pretty worth it. I don't know what all comes in the expansion, but I'm pretty sure it's more than just that.
Includes the Shadows of Rose scenario. It includes the Mercenaries additional orders, which 3 new characters to join the fray, including Lady Dimitrescu. And then it includes the third person mode, which is what, you know, that's why I want to buy this DLC, for the third person mode.
Ah, okay. I was thinking there was going to be another piece of DLC. That's a shame. I really want more.
There may be one in the future, but as of now, it's just this for $20. What are your thoughts?
I'm generally okay with it, because I think this specific DLC is probably worth that. I am not particularly, you know, impressed by the Mercenaries bit, because you're not going to be playing those new characters if you're not really good at Mercenaries, because most of them are unlocked if you get S rank on maps. And like, I played for hours and hours and hours, and I only managed to get an A rank, and I don't know how to get an S rank. And there's up to a triple S rank on every level. And I'm like, I can't even imagine how the fucking do that. I had to work so hard just to get a fucking A. So I don't know if anyone's going to be playing as any of these new fucking characters, to be honest. Third person mode, that's pretty cool if first person bothers you, as I know it does you, Joe. I personally like first person over third person, but I'm very into FPSs, so.
How does that work? Does it switch on the fly? Do you have to go into a menu?
For the main game, in order to play first or third person, you have to go to the main menu before you start the game, and you can switch it there.
I was hoping it would be just like a button toggle that switches back out and back in. Like,
sadly not. I would have liked that too. However, head bob and all that is, I believe head bob is set straight up to off. Obviously, when you're in third person, you can turn it off in first person as well. That's how I play it, because otherwise I'd be sick too. It's really interesting, because you get to see some of Rose and in the main game, Ethan's faces when you have third person, because you can move the camera around them. It won't move 100% around them. It'll only move to a chunk, and then they start turning as well. But you do get to see almost a side profile of both their faces if you're fiddling with the camera in third person, which is cool. So you get to see what Ethan looks like, though you get to see what Ethan looks like in the Rose DLC too. So
that whole point was for nothing.
Yeah, kind of. I think that's
dragging the show. Oh, it's 2.5 hours long. Yep. You just got to drag it the fuck out longer.
Yep. I think that's why they added the third person in the main game, was because they had the full model for the DLC. So they were just like, okay, well, now we have this. Let's just make the first game just that. So I know originally people who had modded and were able to play it with a free roaming camera. Ethan originally didn't have a head in the main game. So, yeah.
All right, I'm going to make you stop talking about this now. We're done with the show. Yay!
Woo-hoo! Bananas!
Big thanks to you for being here. Big thanks to Jacob for being here, I guess. Big thanks to Carnage for being here, I guess. Massive thanks to Michael Silverman for coming on, chatting with us about 100 Bullets. The game is out now on Xbox. It is $10. Our achievement is level 13. So fire up level 13, collect the hidden star, see our name, and email us, and maybe we'll send you something.
Woohoo!
First person only. Otherwise, like, four people might email me. I don't have four prizes.
And Thember, if you need help with Escape Academy, just, you know, hit me up. I can speedrun you through that bitch.
Yay! Any final words?
No, I'm good today. You have final words this time. Enjoy.
I've never had the tables turned on me before. I don't know what to do. Final words, my final words tonight. I would like to take this time to just sit here and have
a nice long monologue. Great final words.